Hi, crew. It's a cold and rainy afternoon here in Canada, at least where I am. And today I want to tell you about a strange little incident that we had back in the village. There was a store there. There was a couple of stores. One store that we always went to. Actually, there were three stores. One store that we always went to for our weekly shopping. And I'm not sure why we didn't go to the big town or small city, whatever, for shopping, but we did tend to support local businesses. So we went to this one store, and it was owned by a Dutch couple. At least, pretty sure they were Dutch. And very, very clean store. I can picture it in my mind because we went in there so often. Front counter on the left, and then the aisles where there were was the food. And but the couple that owned it she was pleasant. She was actually very, very nice, and it was a very clean store thanks to her. And her husband was not quite as congenial, shall we say, as she was. Actually, he was quite gruff. I'm not really sure why. We'd buy, you know, meat and different things there. We also used to cut our own, butcher our own beef. Sometimes we'd have it killed by somebody, a cow or something, then we'd cut it up on the kitchen table. And anyway, so this store was there, and I remember buying, at that time you could pay 12 cents for a bottle of pop beating Coke or Pepsi or something like that. And they were all in glass bottles, of course. And there was a cooler just to the right of the door. And you'd buy a pop for 12 cents if you took it out of the store, and 10 cents if you returned the bottle to the rack near the cooler. So, of course, I always spent 10 cents. I think I got a quarter a week at that time, and I'd buy a Coke or Pepsi and something called a half loon, half moon or something like that. And it was a Joe and Louie thing that was cake and had this crappy icing inside, but I loved them. I guess that's what rotted my teeth. And my teeth are another story completely. So I remember him as being, I don't want to say military, but kind of upstanding and ramrod straight, that kind of thing. And his wife is being gentle and kind and absolutely a wonderful person. And nothing seemed wrong in that particular setup. The store was doing well. I think it was doing better than the other stores, but the store across the street was more of a Catholic store. I don't know if that meant any difference or not. Remember, it had creaky wood floors and was owned by the same family for years and years and years. And we rarely went in there, but I don't really understand why. We always went to this one particular store. So later on, and this is very early in my podcast to get to the point of it, but he committed suicide in the store. I guess they lived behind the store. There was a small house, not a small house, a small apartment, just to the south side of the store. And he committed suicide with some kind of a gun, a rifle. I don't know if it was a 22. That seems to stick in my mind. But suicide with a 22 is hit and miss. A shotgun is much more likely to do the job. And it was a huge shock to his wife. She had no idea what happened. There was talk that he was in intense pain or something from a heart attack and wanted to end it, so he killed himself, but I don't know if that ever happens. In looking back at it, this would have been around, it's hard to say, I guess late 50s, early 60s. It was at the time, long enough after the war, that people were pursuing, this is just my guess, it is nothing based in fact, it's just a guess because of the way he was. Although they were Dutch, there were other Dutch families in the village. totally unlike this particular family. And at that time, of course, that was before the internet, and people had no way of checking up on other people like we do now. But it makes me wonder if perhaps he was on the wrong side in the war. He was on the losing side, either as an active member of working for the German army or the Nazis, or whether he was in some kind of a camp and worked in a camp somewhere. And maybe, just maybe, and this has happened many times in the world, someone was on his track. Someone identified him and said, oh, that's where this guy's living now. And I wouldn't have thought that, except he was so cold and so strict and stern and more like a German type of person rather than a Dutch person that at least we knew. There were all kinds. They were friendly. They had lots of kids. They had just wonderful people. Poor, admittedly, as we were, as most of the people were around there, but relatively happy. He never seemed happy. He never seemed Dutch to me. And the sort of, I said her name, I'll have to edit that out. She was the epitome of what I thought a Dutch person was, a pleasant, happy, and he wasn't. And as a matter of fact, he had I think his name would have been more German than Dutch. I'll look up the last name to check and see, but I think the last name might have been Dutch, but his first name was German. Who knows if it crosses the border there. So that's my story about that. And wife never recovered. She left, and I don't believe they had any kids. There was no kids at that time. I'm sure she had relatives that she went to, but she didn't have any kids. They didn't have any kids. And it was a shock to us, because then we had to, obviously it was sad, we had to support the wife because she had become a good friend of ours. But it was also sad because it was troublesome, because we had to drive, a few miles, under 20 miles, but to the big city, and we had to do that every week, whereas it would have been easier just to shoot down, down the road to the store. So that's the story of another suicide, yet another suicide in the village. And this one was sudden. As they all are, I guess. It wasn't something that we could see coming. The other two stores, I'll get into them in a minute. One was all owned by a great old guy in a really old store, a building. And he, very helpful guy. Huge thick walls in the store, and I believe the building is still there, although I think it's empty. And as I said, there was two places to buy gas. I haven't said that yet. There was two places to buy gasoline in the village. One was a garage where they fixed cars and sold gas, and the other was the store across the street, the old wooden floor store, and had a gas tank there. The strange thing is, I remember about being in the store where the guy committed suicide. There was a guy who used to come in, skinny guy, very dark skinned, and as in tanned or native Canadian, something like that. And he'd come in, it was just unbelievable. He would absolutely stink of gasoline. And I guess he worked on cars. I guess that was all he did, but oh, goodness, you couldn't get close to him for the stink of gasoline. It was quite unusual. So that's it. There were more suicides, of course, than that. But they stick in my mind because, I live in a big city now, and you hear about suicides, but you don't hear your neighbor or somebody committing suicide. But back then, you sure did. somebody would be here and, you know, put a pipe into the car. Another person would hang themselves, as I told you in the last episode. Another person would, I mean, the strangest one was, actually not the strangest, the most unusual way the person did it. Old former bus driver, actually used to be my bus driver. And the word is, of course we never know, the word is that he hung himself from his shower head in his bathroom. And that would have taken him, I guess he'd have to be on his knees. He'd have to consciously try to kill himself. Now, the reason that that seems odd to me is, one, because it doesn't seem possible. I mean, what, you'd just stand up, wouldn't you? But then again, it goes back to that thing I mentioned right at the very start of there being a serial killer in the area. And if it was made to look like a suicide, I mean, you know, forensics back then wasn't all that advanced. And if there was quite a number of suicides in the region, and unless something had twigged in some investigator's mind, it would have been just assumed that they were, you know, not too bright and committed suicide, the same way as lots of others did. I'll do my darndest to find that article or series of articles on the supposed serial killer in that region and see if I can bring it up. Now, I'm not making this up. I actually contacted somebody at the CBC about it years ago, probably 10, 15, maybe 20 years ago on the internet. And they hadn't heard anything about it. They couldn't find any detail of it. And as I said, with Canada, we're not that, we don't put everything out on the internet as yet. We will at some point, but nothing, it's not all out there yet. So we'll see if I can find that. And I have to go back now and edit out the wife's name. There'll be a short blank spot where I mention her name, unfortunately. But it's not fair, and maybe there's still family around. And the story last week, I seem to make some things up about that, but I'm not. I mean, that is my input into this. It's my imagination, you know, and I'm the guy who's doing it, so it may not be right. You may not agree with my suppositions. But it sure seems to be the way that I thought it was. And there's a few more sudden family pregnancies like that. And one I know of, we never talked about because it was a father-daughter situation. And it just wasn't out of the realm of possibility at that time. So there's another suicide I just thought of. I'm going to have to write that down. Okay, I've done enough for today. That's about 14 minutes, and that's as long as I want to go on for you. I don't want to keep boring you. Make some comments and tell me what you think. You like it? You don't like it? If you don't like it, be nice and tell me why you don't like it. I wear my heart in my sleeve. Thanks for listening. Maple Leaf Man, over and out.